For 14 years, David Stevens served on the front lines in the war on malaria. He practiced bush medicine at a mission hospital in Kenya.
I think one of the pictures that will be indelibly printed in my mind is when we had 482 patients in our 135-bed hospital, and there were literally two and three patients in a bed.
Dr. Stevens has long since returned to the United States and now serves as president of the 17,000-member Christian Medical and Dental Association. But even in an organization so large, he's one of the few doctors to ever see a case of malaria. And therein lies the problem.
If we had poured a quarter of the money into malaria that we've poured into diseases that are common in this part of the world, heart disease, for example, or high cholesterol, we could have controlled, if not cured, the malaria problem. Unfortunately, this disease is endemic in countries where there is little economic potential for drug companies, and they basically look at the bottom line.
Ironically, this lack of drug company interest may have actually encouraged recent advances in research. Diane Wirth, director of the Harvard University Malaria Initiative, notes that because the malaria research community is so small, it's developed a degree of cooperation that's rare in such a competitive business.
That's not to say that there isn't good scientific competition, but I think we all see the larger purpose. That is, we really need to solve this problem, and there's really room for almost everyone to participate.
One of the earliest cooperative ventures, Dr. Wirth recalls, was the creation of a team to sequence the entire genetic structure of both the malaria parasite and the mosquito that carries it.
To the credit of all those involved, everyone kept their eye on the goal of getting the sequence because we knew that would open up, you know, enormous opportunity.
Nirbhe Kumar and his colleagues at Baltimore's Johns Hopkins University are among those taking advantage of that enormous opportunity. His team is searching the now published malaria parasite's genetic structure, looking for places a vaccine might deliver a killing blow.
In particular, we are using an approach based on a fairly new concept in the last 5 years or so. It's called DNA vaccine concept, where you can basically, if you know the target antigens that you think will be effective as vaccines, you can use them in the form of DNA and use DNA to immunize people or animals, what we are doing right now.
A second, perhaps even more novel cooperative approach is what scientists call piggyback research. Wes Van Voorhis studies malaria for the University of Washington's School of Medicine. Dr. Voorhis and his colleagues have recently identified a number of drugs developed for cancer treatment that show promise as anti-malarial medications.
That tremendous effort, you know, hundreds to even thousands of chemist years, it's very difficult to do outside of the pharmaceutical industry. So if we can piggyback onto that effort, use that kind of accumulated knowledge to get new malaria drugs from other targets that they've been looking at, we are so much further ahead.
One of the best-known malaria collaborations is a Geneva-based organization called the Medicines for Malaria Venture, led by Dr. Chris Henschel.
We actually sort of broker in all of the organizations that have the know-how, the necessary staff, the necessary facilities, and we put together the projects and we partially fund them. And that partial funding is enough to bring in other organizations like pharmaceutical companies who normally wouldn't do this because they would simply be losing money.
The Malaria Venture's most recent project helped Hong Kong University researchers bring to market one of the most promising anti-malarial drugs in some time, a new medication based on a traditional Chinese cure. An Indian drug company has been awarded production rights and will be able to distribute the new medicine cheaply enough to make a real impact in places like Africa, where malaria kills so many. In our next report, we'll take a look at one of the organizations that puts these new medications to use in the field, the Global Fund to Fight AIDS, Malaria, and Tuberculosis. For Voice of America, I'm Mike Osborne.